Welcome to the official podcast of Apostolic Lighthouse. We'd like to thank you for listening today. We pray this message blesses you and encourages you to see that God is working in your life. Enjoy the message.
Psalm 28, verse 1. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for this word. God, we need your power. We need your anointing. We need ears to hear and hearts to receive what you want to tell us today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we praise you for your word. In Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to preach about the silence of God. The silence of God. You know, one of the most misunderstood things about God is his apparent silence. I say apparent because later in this message, we're going to talk a little bit more about the so-called silence of God and what it really means. But, you know, so his apparent silence at times in our lives is a misunderstood thing by a lot of people. I'm talking about people that don't serve God and people that do serve God. Amen. I say misunderstood because people tend to read into the silence of God many things. They assume certain things about his silence, and they come to certain conclusions about his, based on his silence. For example, in between the testaments in your Bible, the majority of Bibles, overwhelming majority of versions of Bibles has the Old Testament that starts with Genesis, ends with Malachi, and the New Testament that starts with Matthew, ends with Revelation. And in between Malachi and Revelation, if you have a study Bible, there might be some study notes or some things in there. But typically it goes from the last chapter of Malachi, you turn a couple pages and you're right at Matthew. Amen. And you would think that God didn't skip a beat. Praise God, because the last part of the book of Malachi, the last chapter 4, talks about someone coming in the spirit of Elijah, amen, that will prepare the way of the Lord. And that person was going to be John the Baptist, because Jesus said he came in the spirit of Elijah. Amen. And so really, John the Baptist was the first thing that was going on in the New Testament. He was preparing the way for the Lord before the Lord ever started the earthly ministry. And you would think, okay, well, Malachi said that, and now we get right into John the Baptist. But what you don't understand is between Malachi and Matthew, there was 400 silent years. I say silent because God did not speak through written word or through prophetic word. He did not send a prophet. There was no books of the Bible written during those 400 silent years. Amen. What happened during those silent years? The Pharisees came to power and became a thing. The Sadducees, the scribes, they all came to power during that time. There were a lot of things. Oh, people wrote books, and some even claimed that they were supposed to be part of the Bible, but they weren't part of the Bible. When God is silent, you can't put words in his mouth. Amen. We want to take only the word of God. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Amen. But we're going to take the 66 books that he has established and that were finalized under the supervision of John the Apostle before he died. That's pretty good for me. John, who was the apostle whom Jesus loved. John, who laid his head on his bosom at the Last Supper. John, who had a wonderful revelation of the love of God and who Jesus really was. God Almighty in human form. But those 400 silent years, God didn't speak. But people tried to fill in blanks that shouldn't have been filled in. They just needed to wait. Amen. In the Old Testament times, God let people know what he thought about their deeds. His judgment was swift and without question. We read about it in Old Testament times. And some people say, oh, I wish I was living back there. I don't. I like, give me grace. Give me mercy. Give me this side of the cross. Give me this side of God becoming a man. Give me this side of God walking in my shoes and understanding who I am. Because in the New Testament, some people think, man, this is a whole different God in the New Testament than the Old Testament. The way he reacts to things and the way he deals with people. Amen. He operates much differently by dealing with us through grace and mercy and long-suffering. And because of this, grace, mercy, and long-suffering, amen, and he puts things off. He waits. He sees, he works, he tries to deal with hearts. Amen. Because of this, his judgment is often deferred and delayed while he deals with hearts and minds, trying to get people in right standing with him. I remember the story of the parable in the New Testament where Jesus said, the owner of a vineyard and an olive yard, amen, an olive tree grove came to visit his trees. And he said, hey, this tree is not putting out any fruit. He told the guy that is in charge of keeping this olive yard, amen, this olive vineyard in shape. He said, cut it down. And then the guy that said, he told the owner, he goes, you know what? Give me one more year and let me prune it up. And let me fertilize it. And let me just do some things to see if I can help it out. Just give me a year. And you see what's going on is, amen, the Old Testament is, we're cutting that tree down now. The New Testament is, give me a year. And let's see what can happen. Amen. Let's see if somebody can talk to that person. Let's see if some prayers can penetrate. Let's see if some words can penetrate. Amen. Now, see, God's grace, God's mercy, and God's long-suffering is God's way of giving everyone space or time to get things right with him, to believe in him, to obey him, to be saved and transformed into what he wants us to be. Amen. In the early church, we read about a false prophetess in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, and she was causing grief in the early church. Amen. And issues, and she mistakenly assumed that nothing was going to happen to her despite all her wicked ways. Because see, some people mistake grace and mercy and long suffering as that God's never going to be displeased with anything we ever do against his word. No, God's given us space, but the time and the space, it will run out someday, and we will all stand before God someday. Amen. So she assumed that mistakenly. And the Bible said in Revelation 2:21, I gave her space to repent, God said. And she repented not. And so judgment came to her. Amen. Therefore, a person should not equate the silence of God, amen, with the absence of his displeasure with, amen, or the pending judgment of their life if they are living contrary to his word. For example, some people think the silence of God means that he approves of their actions and lifestyle. Just because, amen, he's not, you know, coming down with some angel message and saying, hey, you know, not too amused right here. Better, you know, change course. Of course, he tries to do that. Amen. He does it through preaching every time we get together. He does it through teaching. He does it if someone will take enough time to read the word, if someone will listen to someone talking to somebody. Amen. As God prompts somebody. Amen. You know, there was a parable of a certain rich man in the book of Luke, chapter 12. And he said, he goes, man, this guy was all about himself. He wasn't about to, amen, sharing anything with anybody. And he said, man, he goes, I'm doing really good for myself. Look at all I've done. And I'm just going to build bigger barns. And I'm going to just set myself up for life. And I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. And I don't care what anybody else does. And I really don't care about anybody anyway. It's all about me and my stuff. And the Bible said in Luke 12:20, but God said to him, you fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you prepared for yourself? In verse 21, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. Amen. And then God says a sobering thing in Psalm 50, verse 21, these things you have done. He was speaking to some people. And God said, I kept silent while you were doing them. You thought I was altogether like you. You thought that, you know, no one knew anything and no one knows anything's going on. He said, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Amos 6:3 said, you refuse to believe a day of disaster will come, but you establish a reign of violence in the meantime because you think, oh, nothing's going to happen. Amen. Praise God. That's why the silence of God can be confusing and misunderstanding, and we don't need to be that way. Amen. And people out there, should we? It's time for everyone to wake up. It's time for everyone, amen, to know that there's a God, amen, that they need to give their life to. Amen. Second Peter 3, verse 3, he said, above all, you must understand in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. People live, people die. It's all going to go on. There's no eternity. There's no afterlife. It's nothing. You know, where is it? They're just going to scoff about it. Amen. Thinking, well, the silence of God in my life, I don't hear nothing, and everything's fine. We're just going to rock, roll on like we always have. Oh, no, be careful about the silence of God. Ecclesiastes 8:11. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, and that's true in the New Testament times, like I just mentioned. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Amen. And you know, as people of God, all of us, I know many times I'm preaching to the choir here, so to speak. I'm preaching to people of like precious faith, and you understand where I'm coming from. Amen. We've given our lives to God. We're coming to church. We're getting in His Word. We're trying to do what we can for Him. Amen. We're trying to serve Him every day and walk in His Word and try to seek His will. Amen. And sometimes we observe the lives of these people out there. Amen. These unbelievers and these people doing these things, and we wonder what's going on. But don't misunderstand the silence of God in their life. We just need to worry about our life. Oh yeah, pray for them. And talk to them if God opens the door. Amen. We see people seemingly getting away with all so many things. Amen. And it seems like because of that, oh, where's the sign of His coming? They're emboldened to keep doing this stuff and continue in their evil ways. But don't let that discourage you, child of God. Amen. God is marking it all down. Amen. There will be an accounting someday. God will take care of everyone and everything in His time. Praise God. And the only thing that will wipe away anything off of that ledger sheet is nothing but the blood of Jesus. I want to stand before God with a clean slate, with the wiped out chalkboard, with nothing on my record. Amen. Praise God, like when the DMV takes the tickets off your record after so many years, or you get something expunged off your record that was falsely accused. Amen. I want a clean record before God. Woo! Amen. God has it all under control, people of God. Amen. He goes on to say in 8:12 of Ecclesiastes, though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, or seem to be prolonged in our eyes, yet I surely know that it'll be well with those who fear God, who fear before His name, before Him. But it will not be well with the wicked, nor will He prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he does not fear before God. Amen. King David, he was called a man after God's own heart. He was the greatest king. Amen. I say even greater than his son Solomon. Now Solomon had the kingdom at the greatest height, and Solomon made it the richest and most well known. But David had a better heart than Solomon did. Amen. Solomon messed up toward the end, but, you know, and David had his times, but he kept with the Lord all the way through. Amen. And David, him, even King David, amen, was discouraged at one time when he observed the prosperity of wicked people. Psalm 73:2, but as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. His mind started getting messed with. Amen. He started looking at the wrong situation. He started looking at the outward. Amen. And what seems to be is not always what is. Amen. They seemed, these wicked people, these ungodly people, these unbelievers, they seem to have fewer struggles. They seem to be relatively healthy. They seem to be carefree and have nice things, plenty of money. They seem to have more than enough food to eat, he said. Amen. But let me tell you something, folks. You don't know what's going on in the hearts and the minds of some people. Amen. It doesn't matter what they have as far as possessions and what they seem. Amen. God is the only one that can see the heart. Amen. And what seems to us is not necessarily what's going on. He said, they even said to themselves in 73:11, these people say, how does God know what we do? Is the sovereign one aware of what goes on? In other words, God doesn't know what's going on. We're just getting away with anything. We're doing whatever we want. He's not coming back. It's not, that word's not happening. That's what he was saying. That's what these people were saying. So David allowed this to really play tricks on his mind. Amen. He started wondering if God's silence in these matters in regard to these people meant that these people were going to get away with it, that these people were whatever. That's why he said his foot almost slipped. He was saying, well, he goes, have I lived this life for you in vain, Lord? Have I? You know, he started questioning his own situation. Amen. When he compared it to some of these people. Amen. But you can't compare yourself with others. Don't compare yourself with others. Amen. Compare yourself with the Word of God. Compare yourself, amen, with what God wants you to be. And Psalm 73:16, he came after all this contemplation. He said, when I tried to understand all this, David said, it troubled me deeply until I entered into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you placed them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors? That's what he said. Amen. Maybe he said, until I enter the sanctuary of God. Maybe David, in his life, he was laying out a church for a while, so to speak. He wasn't, you know, getting what he needed and you know, get touching base with God like he needed to. And when you do that, things, your mind can wander. Amen. And right can be wrong, and upside down can be right side up, and you don't know what's going on. Amen. That's why I said, open this service with, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. I can hear someone remind me about what's going on. I can feel the presence of God when we praise him. I can get some clear direction for my life. I don't have to be deceived and drift off somewhere. Amen. And start thinking things that aren't really so. So David, no, God's silence doesn't mean these people are getting away with anything. Amen. David, no, his silence also doesn't mean he's not with you every step of the way. Amen. And today, folks, his silence doesn't mean he's not with us every step of the way. Amen. He knows where you're at. He knows what's bothering you. He knows what you need. And just because you maybe don't feel him sometimes and you don't hear his voice and talking to your heart doesn't mean he's not there. Our text verse said, Psalm 28:1, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Psalm 35:22, Thou hast seen, O Lord. Keep not silence, O Lord. Be not far from me. He's not far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. He's not far. He'll never leave us or forsake us. Amen. Don't equate the silence of God with the absence of God, child of God. Don't equate the silence of God with him not being right there. Amen. Someone could be standing there and you could have your eyes closed, but they're right there with you. Amen. Taking good care of you. Just because you can't see him, it doesn't mean he's not there. Just because you can't feel him or hear him sometimes doesn't mean he's not there. Amen. He's always with us, even to the end. There's no place we can go. There's no problem too big. There's no sickness too devastating that God will not be right there with us to help us through it all. Amen. In Luke 16, there was a very unselfish, uncaring rich man, amen, that lived his life kind of like that other rich man we talked about earlier, amen. And there was even a homeless beggar person that was in rough shape that was right there, you know, just asking for a little morsel, and he just literally step over this guy, you know, going to and fro and back and forth and ignoring him and all kinds of stuff. Amen. This rich man died, and he lift his eyes up, and he was in hell. Amen. And he saw Father Abraham afar off, a symbolic of God. Amen. And he was having a conversation with Father Abraham. And he said, oh, my goodness. If I would have known I was going to this place, I would have lived my life differently, in other words. Amen. And he said, Father Abraham, I have one request. I know it's too late for me, but I've got several brothers. And if could you send Lazarus, that beggar who died also, could you like send him back from the dead and go visit my brothers and give them a message from me saying, change your ways. You don't want to come to this place. And Father Abraham said, no, can't do that. Luke 16:29, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. In other words, they got the word of God. The word of God tells about this place. The word of God tells about another wonderful place. The word of God tells about all kinds of things in this life. Amen. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. Amen. They don't need the word of God. Give them a miracle. Give them a spine-tingling miracle, and then they'll change their ways. Oh, no. Amen. You don't need that. Amen. He's saying not even a miracle will change people. The word. We got the word. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Amen. Praise God. So that really begs the question. Because remember in the beginning I said this apparent silence of God? In other words, we're thinking that there's a silence of God. But really, is really there ever really a silence of God? Is God really ever silent when we have his word in our hands? It's true. Amen.
It's a living word.
It's a living word. It's alive and powerful,
yes.
Hebrews says.
Thank you, Jesus.
He is his word and his word's him, John 1 says. Praise God. His word brings faith. His word blesses. Amen. And keeping his word is the best life and blessed life that we can have. So the answer is God ever really silent? No. Because he gave us his written word. The Bible. And that Bible is preached and taught not only on Sundays, but all kinds of days of the week all over this world. Amen. Over pulpits and in churches and in even outside services and in parks and all kinds at the beach, everywhere. Amen. It's taught on the streets. You can hear it on the radio. It's on TV. It's on social media. There's thousands of languages and dialects being spoken in this world today. And did you know the Bible, in the whole Bible as a whole, from Genesis to Revelation, has been translated into over 700 different languages already? and the New Testament alone by itself has been translated in over 1,500 languages right now. So we've got the Word. We got the Word. We don't need to be worried about the silence of God. According to the Guinness Book of World Records, the Bible is the best-selling book of all time with upwards of 7 billion sold. And every year, it tops out as the bestseller every year, every year. Amen. You can purchase Bibles at the dollar store. And the Bible is available for free on apps for your computer and your phone and your tablet. Amen. God is never silent as long as we have His Word. Amen. As long as we read His Word, as long as we hear His Word, as long as we obey His Word, as long as we live His Word. Let's all stand today. So let's stay in close contact with God at all times. In prayer and through His Word, coming to His house, hearing words of hope, hearing words of encouragement, hearing words of direction, hearing words of eternal life. Praise God. Amen. 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 I'm not going to go by what I think is a silence of God or someone telling me that thus saith the Lord, and maybe they're a false prophet like that lady in Revelation 2. Amen. I'm not going to let the silence of God take the place of the written word. Take the place of what the preacher's telling me through the written word. Amen. I'm not going to let somebody tell me, hey, well, you need to do that and do God told me. And then I go to the word and it contradicts what they said. You're going to take the word over them, folks. I don't care who they are. I don't care. Paul said, if an angel from heaven comes right now and materializes and tell you, ignore the Bible and do your own thing, you need to look at him and said, let him be accursed. Yes. Amen. I don't care who you are. Now, you know he's not a good angel. You know he's one of those demons. Praise God. He's parading himself as a good angel. But I'm here to tell you, I'm sticking with the word. I've got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up. I'm on the word. Amen. It's a sure foundation. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This altar is open if you'd like to come and pray.
What an incredible message. Thank you again for joining us on the podcast, and may God bless you.